Idalia. Idalia in Spanish, right? Kind of a Idalia. Is that how you say it? Something like that. Hurricanes kind of can be threatening. They can be scary. They build up a lot of anxiousness and worry in a lot of people. So we felt that a lot this week. They can cause massive amounts of damage and disruption. We do have a statewide emergency operation system that is in place to deal with such things. We have rapid response teams, military reserves were prepared and on call. They're all well trained and ready to respond. Power and light technicians were sent out and dispatched, and they were on standby, ready to serve. 2 weeks ago, there was a house fire down near where Brenda lives, now where the Mark and Trish Realitz live. Pretty much right across the street, kind of catacorny from catacorny. How do you say that? Kitty corner. Yes, right across the street, but on an angle. How's that? The streets were all blocked off. Brenda couldn't even get down her street to go see if her house was all fine. But her house and all the neighboring houses, they were all spared any kind of damage. Amen and praise God for that. Fire can be kind of scary and threatening too. Yet, fire department, equipped, well-trained, knew what to do, knew what to expect. Last month, an accident right on the corner up here. EMTs and paramedics showed up, outfitted and equipped with all the proper stuff in response to save a life. Amazing. Police officers patrol by my house several times a night. They patrol around the church several times, all day, every day, all night, every night, watching, protecting. Every weekend, thousands, hundreds of thousands of military reserves on the land, on the air, on the sea, preparing for conflict. Each of these first responders ready to defend, protect, and to serve. And while most people will run from a fire, there are some that run toward it. And while many would run away from gunfire, there are some that will run toward it. Many people just kind of stand around now with their phones, videotaping. Others dive right in, help the injured, try to add help to a circumstance. There are battles on our streets every single day. Every day. What kind of battles are you fighting? Financial battles, physical battles, emotional battles, spiritual battles. There are battles you're fighting every single day that cause a lot of anxiety, cause a lot of worry. And what battles and or tasks even are you involved in? And are you prepared? Are you well trained? Are you equipped? And are you ready to respond? See, maybe you're not facing ISIS, terrorist group. Maybe you're not confronting criminals. Maybe you're not bandaging up wounds out on the streets. Maybe you're not putting out flames in a burning house, but you're in a battle every single day. You will need to be well-trained and well-equipped. And you're going to need to know your adversary. You need to know who and what the enemy is. This is part of the reason when you're in spiritual battles why Bible study is so important. Why Sunday school is so important. Wednesday Bible study. Thursday Zoom prayer meetings. We offer training every week. Week in, week out. Preparing us. Training us. Equipping us. Week in, week out. Week in, week out. Because we know we're in a battle. And so here's your first one. You're going to have to anticipate the battle. That's why the fire department just sits in the fire department house, well-equipped, well-prepared. There's a battle coming. There's a battle coming. There's a battle coming, and we're prepared, and we're ready, and we're well-equipped. You have to anticipate the battle. But in the spiritual realms, in reading our scriptures even today, you're going to have to come to this notion in your own mind. Is there an adversary? Is there dark spiritual forces? Is there evil? Is there spiritual warfare? You will have to wrestle with that. And you will have to draw a conclusion about that. Particularly the scripture, the way in which they're described in the scriptures. You'll have to come to a place where they are relevant and it is real, or it is fake and fictional. Basically, those are the only two choices you got. And this will be a foundation upon which you can build that will help you proceed in the battle. Or there isn't one. There is no dark forces. There is no demons. There are no evil dark forces. And you won't deal with it. See, you will not fight against something that you do not think is real. You will not protect yourself against that which you do not think is real. Talk to an alcoholic that does not admit to a problem. There is no problem. Talk to a heroin user believing that there's no issue to resolve. You will not engage in the fight unless you anticipate and recognize there's an adversary. And awareness is half the battle. Otherwise, you just dismiss it altogether and you're not in the battle. Awareness is half the battle. If you accept that there's an adversary, if you accept that the scriptures are real, half the battle's already won. You're already in anticipation that there is a battle and that there is an adversary. And then you can prepare. And then you can learn and train yourself. Then you can equip yourself. And you know why you prepare. You know why the fire department is sitting in the department well-equipped and ready. There's a battle. There is an adversary. Here's your next one. You're going to need to recognize the enemy. The enemy must be identified. You're going to need to know the enemy. You need to know the tricks and the schemes. That's how the scriptures describe it. You're going to need to recognize that there is a spiritual battle. I believe that there's a spiritual battle. How do you know when you're engaged in a spiritual battle? You need to recognize the scams and the lies and the deceit. Because it's not flesh and blood. The scriptures say it's not flesh and blood, but it's the powers of this dark world. Know your enemy. See, your parents teaching you manners, not the enemy. Your teacher giving you homework, not the enemy. Your boss telling you how a job should be done so you can get a paycheck, not the enemy. Your government collecting taxes so that they can pave your roads and put police on the street and fight, not the enemy. Democrats are not the enemy. Republicans are not the enemy. Your pastor challenging your morals and your ethics, not the enemy. The enemy is much more crafty. The enemy is much more cunning. The enemy would be spiritual in nature. The enemy will gnaw at your soul and influence and infiltrate everything about your life and the way in which you think about it. The enemy is determined. The enemy is deceptive. The enemy is dangerous. And he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to let up. The enemy will be relentless. He seeks to discredit you. The enemy seeks to demoralize you, to shame you, to guilt you, seeks to devour you, destroy you, dishonor you, obliterate you, confuse you, and get you to blame God. The enemy can be very, very subtle and sly. Can also be in your face obvious. In your face obvious. Like, see if I can expound this a little. Like every temptation you knew was a temptation. In your face obvious, every temptation you knew was a temptation. And you fell. You didn't stumble. You follow me? You didn't stumble. You chose disobedience. Every temptation you knew was a temptation. You weren't deceived. You weren't tricked. You're not victimized. You blatantly disobeyed. See, it's one thing to be walking along and blindly fall off a cliff. It's another thing to be walking along, see there's a cliff, and jump. Are you with me? See, the scriptures are kind of clear. Those that continue to live like this, they see the cliff, and they jump. Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It was a temptation. What, did you know it was a temptation? Yeah. And what did you do? You didn't stumble. You blatantly disobeyed. You feel me, church? This is a real problem in the church. People don't get it. They don't understand it. They just want more grace. And the whole time you're choosing, you're disobeying. You're not a victim. You're stubborn in your faults. You're stubborn in your failure. You're stubborn in your sinfulness. Over and over and over and over again. At some point, God just says, so I'm trying to figure out this scripture. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. See, this is the only weapon that is described of the evil one. Flaming arrows. In our passage, so that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I'm like, what are those? You ever watch old cowboy and Indian movies? Kind of know what they're out on the west, right? And the wagon train's going across the prairie, and here comes the Indians, right? And there's going to be a conflict, and there's going to be trouble. And so the cowboys got rifles, and the Indians got arrows. And then they're shooting flaming arrows. But they're not shooting the flaming arrows at the person. They're shooting the flaming arrows at what? The wagons. They're shooting the flaming arrows at the wagon, not at the person, at the wagon. Why are they doing that? They know if you're trying to put out a fire, you got to put down the rifle. You're not shooting them. They've just created a mass distraction for you. You can't even deal with the enemy because you're dealing with the tactics and the schemes of the enemy. You're trying to put out a fire. And then here come the real arrows, which take you out. Those flaming arrows are not for a person. They shoot them at the wagons. And it's a distraction technique to get you to focus on something else. So, get your mind confused. Get you battling on all kinds of different fronts. So, how many fronts are you battling on? Worried about your family? Worried about your job? Worried about the weather? Worried about what's for lunch? Worried about when the pastor's going to finish? Struggling to make the in-laws happy? See, if the enemy can get you distracted and maybe gossiping about all the politics and everything else, you don't ever even see the arrow coming. You're just dealing with the flames. Just building a bigger fire. If the enemy can get you lusting after someone and just moving in a direction, that it's just a distraction. building flames. If the enemy can get you greedy and self-concerned and not worried about anybody else and seeing someone's in harm's way, but you just take out your cell phone. Wow, it's terrible. Looks like you're bleeding pretty good there. How many distractions you got? Anything to keep your mind off the real battle, anything to not deal with any spiritual issue that might be coming into your life. The tactics of the enemy, distraction. And in many ways, mass distraction. Mass distraction. Get you focused and looking another. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to be distracted. Refuse to fight the fight the way the enemy wants you to fight. See, the eagle doesn't fight the snake on the ground, right? The eagle just picks the snake up. Boom. Battle over. Battle won. Can't fight the way the snake wants to fight. You're an eagle. Got to fight the way the eagles fight. Refuse the fight the way the enemy wants you. Refuse the temptations. Refuse the flesh. Refuse the gossip. Refuse the lust. Refuse the greed. Stand firm with your feet firmly fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You see, I see that as there are territories that you've already conquered in your life. There are things in your life that are not a problem anymore, but there are other battles. But some things you've conquered. You've gotten control over the pornography. I've gotten control over the greed. I've gotten control over the lust. I've gotten control over the self-centeredness. But there's some other issues, but you've conquered some territories in your life. Victories that you've already won. Being here today is a victory that you've already won. Was it trying to get here this morning? For some people, it can be very difficult to just get out of bed and get to church. Some it's more difficult on time, but they get here. Some people, they won't. They just won't do it. And they'll have multiple reasons why they don't. The enemy doesn't want you here. You've already claimed a victory. There's victory in your life already today. Here I am, standing in the fellowship, hearing about the Word of God, preparing myself in anticipation that there will be battles. I'm learning how to recognize what the enemy is. The enemy wants me lazy, laying in bed. But I claimed a victory today and got up, joined the family of God in praise and worship. Amen? The enemy wants you distracted. The enemy wants you displaced. The enemy will provide multiple reasons for you to eliminate fellowship. Provide multiple reasons for you to give up on church, give up on marriage, give up on tithing, give up on giving, giving up on your children even. Disciples of God don't give up. Disciples of God move forward. They stand firm. Christians don't back away. They advance. I confessed. No need for me to confess again. I advance. I move forward. You have conquered in Jesus' name. Stand firm and stand your ground. Don't go backwards. There's no retreat. There's no withdrawal. Your mind, your heart, your body are now liberated. They've been liberated territories of God. You've been set free. And now you're gaining an awareness and an understanding of what the enemy is. If you believe that there's a real enemy, how the enemy's coming at you, how the enemy wants to distract you, how the enemy wants to defeat you. You were once held captive. Not anymore. You're set free. You were once a prisoner to sin. Not anymore. You've been set free. You were once in bondage. Now you're set free. Once you were bound up in chains, you're now set free. You once walked in blindness. You couldn't see the cliff. Not anymore. You've been enlightened. God has put his spirit in you, and you are set free. Walk in that. Stand firm in that. You do not retreat or give up territory gained. Celebrate your victories. Celebrate your progress. Wave the banner of Jesus Christ high. And then, watch, get ready, get trained, get prepared. Anticipate the battle. The battle's coming. Every day, every moment, all the time, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. The enemy's coming. Anticipate the battle. There are battles going on every day. Here's your next one. You're going to need to know who you are and know whose you are. I am not on the side of the enemy. I remember who I am when I remember whose I am. I believe everything God says about who I am. I take that scripture to be real and relevant. I don't think it's fake and fictional. God says that about me. Hallelujah, praise be to God. I'm walking in that. For those who live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We can watch on TV all day long how the world wages war. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Divine power. God's power to demolish strongholds. Oh, that's, whoo! You've already claimed some victories. Stand strong. You've already knocked out some strongholds. Stand strong. Keep advancing. Anticipate. There's more battles coming. You haven't arrived yet. Keep marching. Keep going forward. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Don't get distracted. You have a shield of faith that keeps you focused on Christ. Put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, you got no sword. You're going into battle in a spiritual warfare that God says, I've given you everything you need, and you drop your sword. Anticipate the battle. And listen, there's your next. There's battle instructions. There's battle instructions. When I make a tee time at the golf course, I don't show up with a baseball bat and baseball glove. That's just the wrong equipment, right? That doesn't work well in that kind of a circumstance or situation. You don't show up to play basketball with cleats on. You're in the wrong, you got the wrong equipment for the game. Just imagine the firefighters that we keep talking about. Firefighters, a four-alarm fire, woo, and all the firemen show up, woo, and then they start pulling out handguns and start shooting the fire. Maybe they pull out a 50 caliber even, because they're well equipped. Start shooting the fire. You don't put a fire out with bullets. You understand that's not how it works. That's not what's happening. You need to recognize you have to have the right equipment to fight the battle. You need to anticipate the battle, know who the enemy is, know what the adversary is, so that you can be well prepared to take out. I'm jumping out of an airplane 2 miles high. I don't need car keys. I need a parachute. You need the right equipment if you're going to accomplish the task that God is laying out before you. So, he tells you to put on the full armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take up the word of God. What are you wearing? Are you naked? You're a naked Christian. Don't even pick up the sword. Don't even put on the helmet of salvation. Don't go into the battle naked. Suit up. Don't show up at the golf course naked. Better have the right equipment. Right? Why? If you see that, you know, they're confused. They're distracted. They're fighting the fire with bullets. They're showing up at the golf course with baseball bats. That's not going to win the battle. You are distracted, confused, and you have a great misunderstanding of how the enemy's trying to advance and take over. You think maybe you can do it in your own power. You think you can do it. God's telling you how to do it. God's preparing you and training you and giving you the sword of the Spirit. I didn't know if I was going to say this, but I'll say it. Oh my God, did you see what she was wearing today? High heels and short shorts and a halter top. Woo-hoo! I just go, nope, I didn't see anything. I had the helmet of salvation on. It's hard to see up the skirt with the helmet of salvation on. You should probably put the helmet of salvation on. Then maybe you might be able to see with the eyes of Christ how he sees people hurting, lost, confused, showing up for battle without the sword. Maybe you begin to see people as Christ sees people. How often is there a battle going on in your life, within your own soul? How often is there a battle going on around you? You don't even see it. Got to dress for success. Remember that? That was a great book many, many years, moons ago. Dress for success. We got to wear what God's telling us to wear. Because when, not if, when the enemy comes, not if, when the temptation comes, not if, when, you're going to be dealing with this all your life. You're going to be dealing with this as long as you have flesh. All your flesh life. You're going to be dealing with the evil and the temptations that are coming. Are you anticipating the battle? Are you prepared? Are you well equipped? Are you ready? Because not when, right? It's when, not if. Belts and breastplates and shoes and shields and helmets and swords, the whole armor of God. Not some of it, all of it. See, half a parachute does me no good 2 miles high. I need all of it. Stay in the Lord with the full armor of God. And the full armor of God, here's your next one, is sufficient in power and protection. Is a sword an offensive weapon or a defensive weapon? Yes. Why would you not know the sword of the Spirit? Why would you not know God's word? If it's both offensive, and it can be often offensive, but on the offense and the defense. The enemy can't trick you with the words if you know the words. God's full armor is sufficient in power and protection. Just let me throw this in the mix for you. We're expected to suit up. You're expected to suit up because there is a battle. We're expected to suit up with the right equipment. And we are expected to engage. And we're expected to win. You hear me? We're expected to win. We're expected to overcome our adversary. We're expected to overcome our temptation. We're expected to overcome evil that will confront us. And our armor is sufficient enough, both in defense and in offense. We will be engaged in conflict, but we are assured of the power in the conflict. There will be conflict, but we are assured of the protection in the conflict. There will be a front line. There will be a mess at times. It will look awkward. It will be clumsy. It will be clunky. It will be emotional. It will be difficult. It'll be sloppy. It won't look pretty. The battle's not always pretty. It's bloody and it's dangerous. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. It takes training. It takes courage. It takes preparation. And listen, soldier, trained, equipped, and well prepared. Here's your next slide. I provide the greatest opportunity for the enemy to die for their cause. Let you think about that for a second. I provide the greatest opportunity for the demon to be cast out in the name of Jesus. I provide the greatest opportunity for the enemy to die for their cause. That's you. If you're well prepared and well trained and well equipped, we defeat the enemy. We're expected to win. We're expected to overcome. The enemy has nothing on us. They have a bunch on us if we're not prepared, if we fall into the schemes, if we believe all the lies. But if we're well prepared, the enemy's got nothing on us. We're all suited up, we're geared up, and we're ready for battle. This is the time for us to claim our victories. Don't be strong in your opinions. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your politics. Be strong in the Lord. That's where the victory is. Don't be strong in all these temporary things. Be strong in that which is of the Lord, which is eternal. Your enemy is powerful, but he's not all powerful. Your enemy's cunning, but he's not all knowing. I know whose I am. I know which side I align with. You have the power to win. You have the power to overcome. Whatever battle, whatever temptation rises against you, God will give you the ability to withstand and overcome it. And then verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With all this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. See, together, this is your next one, together we're in battle. We're in battle together. We do this together. Praying in the Spirit. Praying for all the saints. Praying for all kinds of different kinds of prayers. The best defense is an offense. You ever heard that? Right? You ever heard that? Best defense is an offense. I do not believe for one second that God has us all dressed up to just stand there with no place to go. I don't believe he's equipped you, prepared you, given you the full armor of God, and you're just supposed to stand there and take the flaming arrows that the enemy keeps hurling at you. I think I have some good shoes in the gospel. Should I take a step? I think I have the sword of the Spirit of God. Should I use it? Or should I just stand here while the enemy keeps berating me? See, all dressed up, all prepared, well equipped, and you attack. You attack. You attack. And you pray. You pray in the Spirit. You pray all kinds of prayers. You pray all kinds of requests. Do you recognize that prayer is a spiritual warfare? It gets the heavenly hosts involved. Prayer. That's why it's so important. It's the front lines of the battle. You don't step away from that no more than you put down your sword. You pick up your sword and you pray and you attack and you go after the enemy and squash him and overcome and claim your victory. Pray, church, pray. We need soldiers suited up and ready to engage the enemy. Soldiers that are suited up and ready to engage the enemy, not just standing there waiting for something to happen. We got any soldiers in here? We got any, what does that mean, prayer warrior? Prayer warrior. We got any prayer warriors in here? Oh, I put on the full armor of God, but I just stand in the corner and nobody wants to hear what I have to say. The heavenly hosts are begging you, please get involved. Please pray. Please engage the front lines of the battle that's going on day in and day out, every day, for your soul and for those that are around you. Let me remind you about an elite fighting soldiers. Whenever I was in basic training, you got basic training. And so one of the things you learn in basic training is how to salute. Right? You salute an officer. I was just a low grunt, right? Just so you have to salute an officer. And so you learn in basic training, good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. I don't know, are they doing gender identity things now in the military? Good morning, whoever you are, whatever you say. I don't know what you would say. When I was in basic training, good morning, sir. Good morning, ma'am. Until there was a recognition that you could be more. And if you wanted to be more, you could be more. Well, how do I do that? Well, you're going to have to learn and get trained some other areas. I went to airborne school, an air assault school, chemical warfare school. And when you start to become a warrior, when you start to become the elite fighting force of the military, you're way beyond good morning. You know what you say now? All the way, sir. Ah, see? All the way, man. So I'm just reminding you, if you're a part of that special forces elite group, You learn a new way. You learn something different, deeper, stronger. You learn that when the other people that are in basic training and you say all the way and they go, well, good morning, they ain't there. They ain't there. But when you walk by another, one wearing a beret, a green beret, ranger beret, wearing a tab on it, and you walk by and you go, all the way, sir. And what do they say? And then some. Right? Good soldiers don't go half the way. They go all the way. Strong warriors for God, they don't go half the way. They go all the way. Elite soldiers that are fighting for Christ, they go all the way. Welcome. Welcome. Special forces. Elite fighting unit. Well equipped. Well prepared. Well trained. We're not sitting back waiting. We're on the attack. We're on the attack. And folks, we're in this together. Come hell or high water, we're in this together. Come democracy or communism, we're in this together. Come capitalism or terrorism, we're in this together. Come inflation or come deflation, we're in this together. Come a Democratic president, a Republican president, no matter. It doesn't matter. My eyes are focused on the kingdom. I am strong in the Lord all the way. Today, we'll have communion together. Just as a way to wash ourselves clean from the things that we should have done that we didn't do, the things that we said that we shouldn't have said, or the things we didn't say that we should have said. God gives us a new day. Get up, get dressed, put on the full armor of God, anticipate the battle, and fight. Pray. Engage. If I can have my elders come forward, we'll distribute to you. Father, I thank you for these moments and these times when we're able to gather together as a family. We pray, Father, that anyone that would take communion today, they would recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of their sin. Whether it's the first time they've ever taken communion or they've been doing it all their lives, I pray today, it's meaningful, deep, heartfelt, soul-changing. Father, in this place, we recognize your Spirit is here. You're a strong God. Thank you for your word today. We're not weak. We are strong in the Lord. We gather here in this communion table to be united as one body, to bring you honor and to bring you glory. When you were with your disciples, you took bread, gave thanks, you broke it, and you gave it to them, saying, take this and eat this, for this is my body, which is broken for you.